When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Games cast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the OK Beast, a.k.a. the champion in my heart of Kinda Feudy.
Oh.
You never get to play. You never get to play, so you can't be the champion, which sucks, you know?
I've talked to Roger about this, the idea of what if I could eventually play a game of Kinda Feudy.
Sure.
And I've just accepted it as, you know, sort of a burden that...
Sure.
I'll never get to experience my best work.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, good for you, Tim, Amy, to get to participate in the masterpiece that is Kinda Feudy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's part of the burden of being an artist.
It's blessing, Addie Oye Jr.
Did you know that there's a phenomenon right now where people are just making fake podcast, like fake podcast clips to put out on the internet?
Oh, the AI generated ones?
No, not even the AI generated ones. Like, people will sit down, they'll record 2 minutes of a fake podcast and then put that up on TikTok and it'll blow up. But like the podcast doesn't really exist.
Why are they doing it then? Just for the TikTok fame?
Just for the TikTok. Yeah, because that format is actually pretty good for TikTok.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like people are into like the candid conversation thing, but I think
that's what we do all the time here. Why aren't we more popular?
We gotta break more of our stuff out.
We gotta make more fake podcasts.
We gotta be funny.
Me making fun of the PC kids did real well on the old TikTok.
You know what I mean? And that was mid podcast. Yeah, we just gotta break out more content. Or we can just, you know, not record hours of content, come in, record 5 minutes. Have Roger edit that down to 2 minutes.
Sure.
Put it
there
up.
There you go. You're right. So, already we've finished this episode of the Gamescast.
Exactly.
We've just done it. All right.
All right.
I appreciate that. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Peace out.
Joining us for his rare on camera appearance, of course, is the Boss Baby CEO Junior, Barrett Courtney. Hello, Barrett.
Hello. We're talking about some exciting things today.
Yeah.
But I don't want to rush past the tragic event that occurred over the weekend because this is going to be posting on Monday morning.
Sure.
Rest in peace, Sonic.
Yeah,
Rest
Son of the Hedgehog murdered, it turns out. That sucks.
Who do you think did it?
I think Amy Rose.
Amy Rose, who are you going with? Knuckles.
See, I was gonna say, it's. Do we think it's one of the things that Trump has been indicted for?
Jesus Christ.
he got into the Matrix.
He got a
murder
crime.
Son of the Hedgehog.
Future crime.
It's like there can only be one.
Of course, you mentioned it, Barrett. You are here for something exciting. Of course, you got to go play Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
The first time any of us have touched it. Of course, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, our game of the year for 2019. So we're all very excited to talk to you about that. So let's just get it out of the way. Before all that, this is the Kinda Funny Games cast. Each and every week, four, sometimes three, best friends gather on this table, come to talk about what they love and sometimes don't love in video games. If you love that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get each and every Gamescast ad-free. You can watch us record it live as we record it, usually when it's embargoed like today. And of course, you can get dozens upon dozens of exclusive episodes of shows over there, including this one of, I guess we do two Remember Blanks a week. One of our Remember Blanks this week is going to be, what's your Star Wars game? Talk to me about that.
Ooh,
you know what I mean? We're talking about Star Wars. Mm. What to you is your Star Wars game, ladies and gentlemen? Chime in on kindoffunny.com/rememberblank, then watch that over on patreon.com/kindoffunny this week. But I digress. If you have no bucks to toss our way on Patreon, it's no big deal. Of course, you can get every episode of the Gamescast for free with ads, none of the bonuses, over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe.
We should make up a fake Star Wars game and like not tell Mike.
Okay.
See if we can get it like
100%.
Like a Mario Party Star Wars game that like you know never existed. And, like, figure out like some fucking crazy ass premise for it and then just talk about it and like we both act like oh yeah like I've heard of that and see if Mike catches on.
I love that.
Yeah, and then get like include two ridiculous other Star Wars games that are like actually real.
Yeah,
and at the end make him guess which one is fake. Like two truths and a lie right there. Because there's like the weird dancing game, right? Where you where you get to play dance as Han Solo and he goes, I'm Han Solo.
Yeah, they're doing the Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
That's just Dance, wasn't it? Or was, was it?
I thought it was something. Oh, it was something for like
a Star Wars. I think it was a Kinect Star Wars dancing game.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Together at some point. You know what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of housekeeping for you. Of course, tomorrow, Tuesday, Meet Your Maker is taking over our Twitch channel at 8 a.m. Pacific to show their game. There are a couple kind of funny best friends who work on the product, and they said, hey, what if we sponsored a stream and we came over and just talked straight to the audience? And we're like, cool. Sounds great to us. So 8 a.m., come hang out with the Meet Your Maker folks to celebrate their launch for an entire hour. You can see the game, learn about the future roadmap, and more. That's on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Over on Patreon, a new next-gen podcast is up right now. Roger, Barrett, and Bless talk about dealing with trolls and the time Barrett made a girl cry. You know, I don't want to know anymore. I want to listen to the show. Don't tell me anymore about it.
That implies it's the only time I've made someone cry. That's not.
Was it when you were trolling? Were you trolling this girl?
It's the proudest I've ever been of making someone cry, and I'll just leave it at that.
Jeezy, crazy. All right.
He came to us with Barrett came to us with this topic, and me and Roger were like, this is a very specific topic. Like the proud moments we've had making somebody cry. Like, I don't think I've ever had that. And Barrett's like, I got some stories.
Jesus
and
Christ.
He has some stories.
All right. Well, I'm into it. Thank you to our Patreon producers who can listen to that Next Gen podcast. And of course, get our shows ad free. Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Evil Dead Rise. But we'll talk about that later. For now, let's travel to a galaxy far, far away. Barrett, give us the synopsis. What exactly did you play? How long did you play? Where did you play? What were you wearing?
Quickly, I just want to shout out thanks to EA and Respawn for flying me down to be able to play the game a little bit early to check out 3 hours of the game to preview. I think they set us up roughly what they said, like an hour into the story. What I imagine we didn't get to see was like kind of the big intro, like set piece thing, kind of like what Bracca was in the first game. So this was a little bit after that, getting kind of more settled into like what maybe the game is going to look like as a whole. Played for 3 hours. I played on PC. Just to let you know that, just to give some context there. And,
were you wearing?
What was I wearing? I don't remember.
Han Solo. He's bounding his Han Solo. Yeah. All right. So that, you know, the specifics and, you know, the requirements out of the way. What did you think? Like, you loved Fallen Order, right?
Yeah. I love Fallen Order. Fallen Order is like one of my favorite Star Wars, like, pieces of media all time. It's like definitely up there. And so, yeah, when we started seeing more in the last couple of months of trailers, kind of like the obvious things to me from trailers were like, this definitely seems like it's going to be a step up for gameplay. I'm still kind of questioning like where they're going to go with the story, going to be something that hits for me. And I'm still right there after 3 hours of playing the game.
Interesting. Okay.
But with that, it's like, yeah, the gameplay has definitely stepped up in like really, really cool ways. And, you know, we'll talk about what I can with the story. And just I want to say really quick, any B-roll that we showed today, I was told a note that is a work in progress B-roll.
God,
it might not be representative of the final game. Yeah, it does look good. I don't want to understate that of like, oh, I felt the same way after the preview. Like, I was sold even more of like, yeah, this is really going to be a step up for gameplay and world design and going on what feels like your very own Star Wars adventure. And the story side is, you know, I didn't get to see a lot and I can only talk about so much of what I saw.
Okay.
But it's still like one of those things where I don't know where we're going on Cal's next big adventure. But I'm still really excited. After my 3 hours of playing the game, I will say it's like all I wanted to keep doing was keep playing the game.
Yeah.
The next few weeks are going to be torture until this game actually comes out because it's all I want to do. I'm bummed right now. Like, I'm excited to talk about the game right now, but I'm bummed right now that I'm sitting down to talk about this game and not playing the game right now. I think everybody who was at the event was really excited. You know, people who were there to preview it, devs alike. I think the team knows that they have something special on their hands. So, yeah.
So my top level question, because if I know anything about you, Barrett, you are a detail oriented young lad, and I'm sure you have copious amounts of notes and bullet points you want to dive into.
Got a good 3.5 pages.
It's a lot. Yeah. So my question would be, I know it's hard. You're at a preview. I've been there so many times. You can't talk about the entire story. You don't know some things about it. Gameplay, yada yada. From what you got, this vertical slice, this glimpse, do you think this has the stuff to outperform Fallen Order?
In what sense?
I mean, it was our game of the year. Do you think it's possible you're going to enjoy this game more than that game?
I think from a gameplay standpoint, 100%. Like, if it was already our game of the year for 2019, right, for Fallen Order, like, I think this is going to... I think they saw what made Fallen Order special, and they're just going in and enhancing everything. Again, like I said, the story and stuff is still, like, that's what made Fallen Order special to me, were the characters and story.
Sure.
And it seems... a little bit bigger this time, like the things that I can talk about, like the, you know, Fallen Order felt like it had such a small cast, but now we're introducing a bunch of new people throughout it, like building on top of the smaller cast that we got from the first game. And honestly, like, I think the low point of this, of like where the barrier for the story is like, at minimal, we're just going to go on another fun adventure with Cal and BD, and I think at most we're going to get another great introspective look into, you know, this surviving Jedi after the events of Order 66, still trying to find his place in the galaxy. So, yeah, I definitely think it's got the makings of a game of the year contender, even though this year is already pretty stacked from what it seems like. Yeah.
How's exploring the environments? You know, the last one, I think we compared a lot to it feeling a bit Metroidvania-ish, right? You look at the map, and I know a lot of people hate the map, but like...
Christian writes in and says, will it release with the second worst map of all time, only behind Fallen Order?
There you go. And yeah, and how does that apply to the level design this time around? You know, it looks, from the trailers, it seems like it's a bit more open in the environments. Does that reflect when you're playing the game?
So, yeah, first thing I want to address is the map. I did see a lot of people kind of asking about the map. It definitely feels easier to... process when you bring up the hollow map from BD1. They've got kind of different areas like segmented, and so in the first game, you know, especially if you're trying to platinum the game, you had to do like 100% map completion.
So
terrible trophy.
So stupid.
And like the way that the map kind of like unfolded in ways when you were exploring that 100% in the first game, it definitely was hard to like kind of figure out like where you had been and things of that nature. And I think the little tweaks they've made here and there for the hollow map definitely makes it easier to process of like, where did you just come from? Where have you been so far? How much of this area of the world that you're on has been explored? How much of this area?
Okay.
And so it's definitely easier to kind of understand and process. Say like the controls of like moving the map around and stuff like that are still a little finicky. But that was I think they made little adjustments here and there, because I remember like the map, like the kind of areas that you could walk around, they kind of made it look a little bit more like how it looks in the world and made it look like a little natural, but I think that was like to a detriment.
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit more clear of like what paths are and things of that nature. So yeah, shout out to a definitely an improved map to process.
Still the top of it all, right? In, you know, tip of the iceberg, Juan Lobo wrote in and said, what were the biggest improvements? Is the map on that list, or were there other things you think that speak out as, oh, this really stands out?
Map is definitely, you know, one of the highlights, but I would say even more so is just the fidelity of the entire game. I think this is next gen only for consoles. You can correct me if I'm wrong there. And granted, we were playing on a PC build, but yeah, the fidelity of it all was just something like every time we got from a cutscene back into gameplay, you have that moment where you're like, oh right, this is a video game that I get to play and kind of like exist in. It's much more improved. Like, I think the easy thing to look back at for Fallen Order are the Wookiees. Like,
oh my god, it was awful.
Awful. I did not see any Wookiees in my preview event, but there was an
they're
enemy.
Like, you know what, we're just not, we didn't fix them. We're just not gonna go to see
like,
them.
Fuck this, man.
But there was an enemy type called the Mogu, which is, if you remember from Empire Strikes Back, there's like the snow monster that takes Luke. It's like their version of that, but it has like more brown hair, because Kobo, the planet we got to explore, isn't like a ice planet or anything. And so they definitely have like that similar like hair texture, and they looked much better.
Awesome.
And so like I think like being able to focus on next gen consoles and just like really bring up the fidelity and the look of the entire game was like really impressive. And I also want to shout out the kind of added little thing that they did was letterboxing. You know, the black bars like that you usually see in movies. Whenever you get into cutscenes, it'll like slowly like get into letterboxing.
That's
Fallen
cool.
Order didn't do, and I think it works in like two really cool ways. Where when you're in a cinematic like moment, it really makes you feel like you're watching like a Star Wars like a cinematic like movie or something like that. But then like when you get out of the cutscene and then go back into gameplay and it goes full screen again, you're like, kind of re-immerse into like, holy shit, I'm playing a video game. And yeah, and so that was like a little tweak of presentation that I feel like goes a long way. So I think it's things of that nature of just honing in what they kind of almost had in the first game and just making little tweaks here and there just to really sell more of like being on your own Star Wars adventure.
I don't know how much you can talk about characters because you talk about they're introducing
greasy money, baby. What's greasy he money. Up to?
But like, you know, were the characters hitting for you? Did it feel like the expanded cast felt like, oh no, I like these guys. I want to see where their stories are going to take us.
So it's interesting. The characters that I can talk about and that I'm only like willing to talk about for this. I also
this dude was hanging out with Grogu.
He was.
him and a baby. I kind of want to talk about that in tandem with Kobo, which if you had been following any Star Wars coverage before this, Mitchell Saltzman got to kind of play around with Kobo a little bit for the IGN first a couple months ago. And Kobo, yeah, definitely feels like your hub planet. That feels like really big. It was the planet that they showed off in previous trailers where you're like, you're using mounts to get to certain places and things of that nature. And it kind of works in two parts. Like Kobo feels really big to explore and get lost in like a couple of different areas and go down like little adventures and things of that nature. But then also you have this town that you can go and hang out in and, you know, kind of like get connected with the community. So like the cast of who I met so far from that town, it feels like more of just like little ways to make Cal feel connected to like a new place, place that he could like possibly like call his own in certain ways. So, yeah, I want to look back at the characters that I met throughout the town. Yeah, there's like Mosey, who you meet on the way to town, who is like a ranch hand, who like kind of, as we see here with the Necco mount. And if you like find a Necco mount, you can bring it back to like the ranch and put it in a stable and like save it for like future adventures and just like store it there and then, you know, maybe fly off planet, come back and then grab it again because you know you want to go down this path that you might need that mount for. Grease is hanging out there. He's great. That was like kind of one of the moments where when Cal meets up with Grease for the first time in a while, it kind of brought me back of like, I don't know where they're going with the story, but at the minimum amount, I'm just excited to see these characters hang out again. Shout out to my boy Turgle, who's like this weird frog-looking alien dude who think might be voiced by Richard Horvitz, possibly the voice of Invader Zim and Rasputin from Psychonauts. If not, it's just someone who sounds really like him. Just like a goofy little character. Again, not much, but something to just kind of feel like the galaxy is bigger than just Cal and the Mantis crew. And then Doma was someone else that I met who seems to be the kind of like appointed mayor of this little town who kind of feels like the parent and like just making sure that like everybody's being taken care of. And so with that, the thing that really, what Kobo really reminded me of especially like the community in the town where you get to, you know, meet up and talk to new members who might, you know, take you on like a little journey or give you a side quest and things of that nature. It's the same place where you can also, like, there's a little garden where you can like plant and like kind of organize your own little garden based off of like seeds that you find throughout the planet. There's a little fish tank that you can like go and catch fish and like put them and display them in your little fish tank. It brought me back to the homestead in Assassin's Creed 3, where it's like, it doesn't seem like this is like very integral, necessary, like to get to the golden path and things of that nature.
Sure.
But I think it's a really cool thing to kind of make you feel connected to a specific point in the galaxy and make it feel like your own build this community and all that stuff.
Obviously, this first time we've heard about it, you're talking about it. It kind of seems like a way more fleshed out way of making you feel connected. Cause like, remember in the Fallen Order, the Mantis had like the terrarium.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, I guess I got that
thing. And again, like I've been
saying,
like it feels like they knew what like the cool little things that made Fallen Order special, and they're just like expanding on them in really big ways. And so Kobo, with that, kind of feels like two different planets from Fallen Order. They kind of mention on Bogano, that's like the kind of your first like tutorial planet where you go and kind of like relearn like wall running, and it's got that Jedi temple, and they kind of talk about like, oh, this is like a nice little safe haven from the Empire, but you don't really like hang out there. That's not like really a place that you're building like a town and community with. But then also it reminded me of Zepho, which I feel like might be the biggest planet in Fallen Order, maybe Dathomir, where it's like all of these different little like pathways to go on, little adventures to find little side quest things to go on. And Kobo feels like a combination of those things. I know something that you were wondering about is like, does Kobo feel like an open world? I got to talk to a little bit of with the developers, and they like, Kobo is not open world. Like, that's not what this is. It's just, it feels like a bigger kind of version of what we've seen from Fallen Order. I mean, where it's like
one of the clips that Roger was showing earlier had I don't know if it was Kobo.
All of the footage today, and all we saw was of Kobo.
Okay, so he was gliding over the land, right? And it looked like just massive, like this clip exactly right here.
Yeah,
this looks, I imagine this is all explorable here, right? Yeah. And this is way more open than I remember Jedi Fallen Order being.
Yeah,
it seems like I remember specifically that one planet, like the first one with the frog, right? Where it was like so many different levels and going back to it.
Yes.
But even that didn't look this diverse.
It felt like
this many levels.
The center of the planet felt like, okay, it's going to be really open over here. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of little things to explore. But then outside of that, it doesn't continue being like really big and sprawling. It's like more of like finding like little paths, or maybe bigger paths, but like a bunch of explorable ways to go, you know, find little adventures, find upgrades, cosmetics, things of that nature. So I think some people, especially when mounts were introduced, people were a little bit nervous of like, oh, how big is this place going to be that we need mounts and stuff like that. And speaking of mounts, like the thing that I kind of took in, and it really clicked with me when, you know, being able to glide around on the little bird creature and riding around the Neko, they're not to, like, shorten the time of, like, distance because the planet's so big. They felt more of, like, solutions to for, you know, being able to get from point A to point B. The two-footed Neko mount, like, can help Cal get up like mud slides that he wouldn't be able to on his own. Right here you see like you can jump and then jump off of him to get even higher, like to places that are a little bit too high for Cal's double jump, and things of that nature. Like the gliding felt like, okay, I'm traveling up this like kind of side quest area, and now I've made it all the way down up this hill or up this cliff, but I don't want to like backtrack and make all my like go all the way back down just to get back to the town. Oh, here's this glide mechanic that I can kind of make my way down and get back a little bit quicker.
How much distance you're traveling with the glide? Because it's that thing where there are two kinds of glides I feel like you can have in a video game like this. You know, it's either like the Breath of the Wild where you can fucking you can get pretty far with that thing, or it's like, no, here's a glide so you can get back to Earth safely without taking fall damage.
Yeah, exactly. Won't hurt yourself.
Yeah, but this looks like I can actually travel pretty far with that glide, which I'm all about.
Yeah, and there's a couple fun sequences I got to experience where it's like you kind of need them to get like over ravines and things of that nature. Some really cool stuff. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see like what Kobo is in the greater context of the game, because I've had like a couple of different thoughts about it. Of, you know, thinking back on Fallen Order, you only got to go to like 4, maybe 5 planets throughout the game, and you know there were smaller levels like Ilum, which is the ice planet where you get your saber crystal from, and then you know there were the bigger planets like Zepho,
Kyber crystal.
You
know, there's Zepho and Kashyyyk and Dathomir that all felt like kind of big and sprawling, and while visually they all felt like pretty varied, I feel like in size they were, it all kind of felt a little bit similar traveling from planet to planet. So thinking about Kobo in the greater context of what Survivor might be, I'm wondering if like they really wanted one planet so they could do the like sprawling, like let's go on these like kind of like winding paths to explore and get lost on these little side adventures like you would in Zepho or Kashyyyk. But then to do that, maybe we get a little bit more opportunity to maybe show off more planets that might be a little bit smaller, but still have like that design that we know from the first game and things of that nature. Or maybe like I'm completely wrong, and maybe there is like a planet or two that are the same size of Kobo, but you're probably just not doing like a settlement town thing there, you know? So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all fits.
I want to jump tracks, but before I do that, I do want to ask you one more thing. You're talking about, you know, is granted 3 hours vertical slice, yeah. One planet. Alec Bobko wrote in and said, how are the companions this go around? It seems like they might be more incorporated into gameplay this time around rather than just quest givers slash info dumps. It sounds like you saw Greasy Money, my boy, but it doesn't. I also don't know if you have enough information on this. Like, I doubt Greasy ran off on the mission with you, right?
Yeah, so I know as much as you do, Alec. Okay. I think it was in that recent story trailer that dropped like a week or two ago. It was during GDC, I think. It seems like, yeah, like some of the companions are going to join you on certain, like, story beats and things of that nature, similar to God of War Ragnarok comes to mind with that. But yeah, I didn't get to see any of that. Like, this, again, this feels like very early on, Cal and BD are like kind of getting their footing again. So there wasn't like a big moment of like, oh, now this person's like going to go and like fight alongside you or anything like that. So
how was using the mounts? Like, did they control fine?
They were serviceable, you know, like, again, it didn't feel like a thing of like, oh, I want to get from point A to point B faster. It felt more of like, all right, yeah, I'm moving it around. It didn't,
faster way to move.
But barely. It felt like, again, more of like solutions to get over like certain objects and things of that. They felt more like solutions. So like they
puzzle mechanics almost.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, they felt good enough. They didn't feel like weird or jarring or anything. Okay. So I think they'll just kind of be an added layer to what I think is already going to be like a very improved like platforming and kind of like puzzles combined with platforming a little bit. I saw a lot of in my time with it of, oh, there's this kind of like side structure getting in the way of like a zip line. Like, how to, like, all right, I got to go around that, this way. Yeah. We showed in the B-roll earlier. You have to like kind of get around to it to like push it back into the side of the cliff to be able to like get the zip line there. There's like another time where I brought platforms out the side of a cliff or whatever, but then they started slowly moving back. Mm. And I was like, oh, I just need to like pull them out like pretty quickly. But then that wasn't connecting. So I was like, oh, I got to go in like a specific order to like pull these platforms out, then jump to the first one, then to be able to jump to the second one. And so it feels like they're incorporating a little bit more puzzle elements to like being able to scale to certain places, which I really enjoy. Like, the platforming was really fun. I like that they're kind of getting experimental with it and like kind of keeping it fresh and new.
The question I have for you, we're talking about all these different things, mounts, we're talking about the planets, we're talking about the companions. I want to talk about Cal. Mm. But before we do that, I want to remind you about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you, of course, can get each and every episode of the Gamescast ad-free. You can usually watch us record it live as we record it, and you can get dozens and dozens of exclusive episodes a month, like Remember Blank, where we are remembering your Star Wars game this week. But I digress. You're not on Patreon. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Evil Dead Rise for sponsoring this episode. You can get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. People are saying this movie is absolutely terrifying, and I personally can't wait to see it in a theater, because there's, you know, few things in life are as special as watching a real scary horror movie surrounded by people freaking out with you. Moving the action out of the woods and into the city, Evil Dead Rise tells a twisted tale of two estranged sisters played by Sullivan and Sutherland, whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, if I had a nickel, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. New Line Cinema and Renaissance Pictures present a return to the iconic horror franchise, and we are hitting entirely new levels of fear here with this one. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for this, but wow, you definitely should. You look like you need a little bit of fear in your life. And then you can go to Evil Dead Rise Movie .com to get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do, and you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off two plus pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at shadyrays.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Barrett, one of the things I think a lot of sequels, especially action RPGs or whatever you want to call it, is action with RPG elements that you fall into, right, are you spend an entire game building the character up, getting all the cool moves, doing all the cool stuff, and then in a God of War 2 fashion, you're thrown into the underworld, you lose everything, you got to rebuild it.
Yep.
When I went and took the demo for this at Game Awards and was talking to EA and talking to Cal himself, one of the things I thought was really cool is they said, oh no, you're starting where you left off. You're starting as a badass Jedi, and then it's about learning new stuff.
Yep.
Did you get that? Was it easy to feel like Kaligan, or did you, what are they giving you new? Like, are we using the same stances? Like, what's going on?
So yeah, there's a lot to break down there with Cal as your character. From our preview at least, it seemed like everything was every major force power that you unlocked throughout the first game was there from the jump. Force pull, force push. Like that's not what this story is about. Like to me that made sense of how they slowly rolled out force powers in the first game, connecting to Cal's story. But yeah, it's not like he's stuck mentally from 5 years ago or whatever. So yeah, you're not like doing that whole thing. I imagine in that first hour somewhere there's a little segment of like, hey, here's your force push,
how do you remember,
here's your force pull and things of that nature. So yeah, don't worry about the game like Metroidvania, like some evil like Palpatine comes down and sucks all of his powers and you gotta relearn everything. But yeah, definitely you're building on top of things, like as we're seeing here in the B-roll. One of the new force powers is you get to use Jedi mind tricks, and you get to use them on enemies to trick them into battling other enemies and things of that nature, which was really fun to use. And I was seeing some people kind of use it in ways that expecting.
There's your dude. Your brown. Oh, you locked off his arm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Really quick, with enemy variety, I just want to shout out like how fun it was, even for just one planet. Like I can only imagine like what I haven't seen from other planets that I didn't get to explore. But like the Mogu was really fun to fight because, yeah, I feel like he grabs you, you can kind of press down on X to cut off his arm, but then he becomes way more aggressive in his attacks. So, again, just little things that I think that they're doing with these enemies to kind of make them feel fresh and varied each time you face off against them. Something that they talked about is like all the stances for this game. There's 5 this time around, whereas in the first game, there was really only 2. There was the single blade, and then there was the double bladed. And then you kind of did like the dual wield one, but that was really
was like a
special move. And I think they talked about in the IGN first, that was something that they originally wanted in that first game, was the dual wield to be its own stance. But, time constraints, things of that nature. So I remember from the IGN first, when they first started working on this game, they're like, all right, Let's figure out the dual wield. So yeah, in this game you have single bladed, double bladed, and dual wield, which in our preview, all three of those were available from the jump, and those were the three that we got to play around with, and really like kind of get into the weeds of how they build on the first two stances and what is new and introduced with the dual wield stance. And then the things that we did not play were the cross guard, which seems to be the Kylo Ren like hilt lightsaber that seems to be the kind of heavy weapon. You know, it's doing a lot of damage, but you're really, yeah, it's like your great sword, but like you're really slow. But again, didn't get to play that, so I don't know like how that really feels. Sure. And then the last one was the blaster, where I think you're like holding a lightsaber and then you have a blaster in the other hand. We didn't get to play them, but they did show them playing it at the end of our preview event.
Yeah.
And I only got so much out of the cross guard, like looking at it, watching it being played. But the blaster, y'all, let me tell you,
yeah,
looks really fun. There was one moment where I was like, did he just parry with the blaster? I might be misreading like what a certain animation was.
I hope so.
But let me tell you what got the crowd fucking applauding was, you know, the kind of preview that they're showing off. I think it was the lead combat designer who was like showing off all this gameplay and showing off all the different stances like kind of being used and like what combinations you can do. At one point when he was using the blaster stance, he like force pull like everybody up into the air, slowed them down.
Oh, man.
And then brought his blaster out.
Oh, man.
And what seemed to be a Red Dead type Deadeye mechanic, where he slowed down time, selected five different enemies, and went, ba 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 ba. And it was, I think, the hypest thing that we saw that day in terms of gameplay. And it was really cool. Something to be clear, though, you can only equip two stances at a time, which I think is really interesting and cool, and something that I felt, even with only three stances available, of like, you know, you're so used to being able to do single and double bladed. But then if I'm doing single and dual wield, right, and then I come across the stormtrooper enemy who has, like, the Gatling gun, usually what you would do is bring up the double-bladed to, like, do the quick parrying, but you can't do that. So it's like you kind of have to think of, like, all right, what are different solutions to be able to take out certain enemies if I'm only, like, equipping this stance and this stance? And I imagine it's going to be even, like, more so with two stances on top of
that. Can I only equip the two stances at, like, the meditation points? I can't just, in the middle of a battle, be like, oh,
that is correct. That'll be something that you do at meditation points. I think also at the work benches as well, you can choose which stances that you're doing. So yeah, there's that. And something, a tidbit that I did get out of some of the developers that I thought was interesting, because one of my questions for them was, did they feel like when they hit five stances, did they like, all right, this is it, like we know that this is, we're happy with this, or were there so many ideas for stances that they had to like cut themselves off or things of that nature? And the tidbit that I got was I believe it was the art design director said, the amount of stances that we have in this game felt appropriate for the size of the game. And let me tell you, the three stances that we had in just our three-hour preview felt like a lot on just this one planet. So I think that's interesting of, like, how big is this game going to be compared to Fallen Order? And it got me really excited of, like, damn, this is... It feels like it's going to be a big one.
Hell yeah. How's the combat hitting compared to the original game? Like, one of the things that was talked about a lot with Jedi Fallen Order was it feeling a bit more Soulsy, right? And I think a lot of people compared it even more to Sekiro, because Sekiro was a bit more fast-paced. After, especially you now, actually, playing the original in 2019 and now being in a post-Elden Ring world and you playing through Elden Ring, coming into this new one, is it immediately apparent of, oh, man, the combat feels any sort of revamped or improved or anything? And also, you know, does combat feel different after playing Elden Ring, after playing through a long-ass Souls game?
It doesn't feel different in that sense. Like, it definitely feels like, all right, like, this is similar to what we had in Fallen Order, but definitely improved. Something that I think maybe possibly story-wise of why they did this. But to me, after playing, I replayed Fallen Order a couple weeks ago, Cal felt slower a little bit. And because I was thinking back to Fallen Order, he's really fast in like battle interactions, and I felt like sometimes, like going back to that game after a couple of years, he almost felt like too quick and floaty. And I think they like because kind of taking advantage of like this being 5 years after the events of Fallen Order, Cal's a little bit older. He's a little
bit more slow.
He's a bit more experienced.
The
old
Metachlorians are settling down.
So yeah, he feels just like a little bit slowed down, just a bit to have like each of your decisions in combat have a little bit more weight. And I know when I say that, you're probably like, oh God, this is going to be Kratos, God of War 2018, Ragnarok.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. It's just little adjustments. Like
he always felt very jumpy. You know what I mean? He was very jumpy. Like, almost too light on his feet.
Yes, exactly. And I think they kind of brought that down just a little bit. Okay. And I think it works for, you know, he's a little bit older. He's a little bit more battle ready and experienced because, you know, when we play Fallen Order, he hadn't really been battling anybody for 5 years or anything of that nature. So I think that was like a maybe smart kind of like being able to explain why they just slowed him down a little bit of being like him being 5 years older. And so, yeah, it feels like a really good and slight adjustments to make it feel a little bit more important in decisions that you're making. I know there's something else that you were wondering of, like, does it feel Soulsy even like with the kind of big areas?
Yeah.
And like even though Kobo does feel like pretty expansive, when I'm going down like a certain pathways to go on like little side adventures, like you're going through like caves and stuff and it still feels like tight. And I would say that Survivor probably in design of like enemy placement and things of that nature, it feels a bit more Soulsy than Fallen Order did.
Oh, wow.
And a bit more mean. Cause I would say like you would only get that experience in Dothamir. Cause Dothamir kind of was the hardcore planet of like, all right, you're going to this room. Ah, there's an enemy like right around the corner. They're doing that like on this planet way more. And it definitely brought me back to like, oh God, I'm more playing Elden Ring than I am Fallen Order, which I really enjoyed. And so again, when you know people say that Kobo is going to be a big place to explore, I don't get scared about like, oh, it's just going to be an open world. It's going to be a really intricate big map to kind of get lost in.
Did you get your hands on a grappling hook?
I did get my hands on a grappling hook. Hold on.
To use.
So let's see here. Where did I put that in my notes of 3 pages of notes?
Control F.
Yeah, it felt like an added kind of thing for platforming. And so, I think it was just like a little detail to kind of like make platforming feel a little bit fresh and not like you're just playing Fallen Order again. So I think that'll kind of lend itself to being like, how do I get close enough? Because you have to be a certain amount of length to like be able to grapple to certain points. So then you like you see the grapple point and you're like, wait, I'm too far. Like, how do I get there? And so I think I think it's like just an added level of kind of like slight puzzle. How do I get closer to it? And the feel of it, definitely think of like Kratos, the Chains of Chaos, how they were using Ragnarok and kind of like pulling himself up, things of that nature. So nothing like huge, but it was definitely like an added element to what I thought was already like a solid platforming experience in Fallen Order, just to make it like fresh, a little bit quick, and just like a little bit more added depth of like, all right, like how do I get over there now?
One of the things that was a stumbling block, but one of the criticisms, I guess, of Fallen Order, and obviously one of the things I love the most in just about any game is customization. Michael J. Cohen wrote in and said, how much can you customize the look of your character and accessories? I'd go one step further because I want to know all that. Obviously, it was Poncho Gate 2019 before with Cal, but my other question I had at the time for EA at Game Awards that they were like, that's a really intricate question. I'm talking to like, you know, other people, so it's not even like the dev. I was like, can I, as soon as the game starts, which I know you didn't, but you would be able to answer, can I change my lightsaber crystal to what I had it as in Fallen Order? Because obviously that was such a huge moment that made my Cal like, bam, I want to make sure that I start the game and look like be able to look like Cal.
So answering that question, at least from where we started in Kobo, yes.
Okay, perfect.
All like lightsaber colors or what's available in the game, at least from the jump, are available to kind of move around in.
Got it, great.
There's a lot of pieces to kind of select from and customize even more. I was trying to make note of how many collectible pieces there were. And yeah, Greg, you're going to be really happy with the customization because it's not just the lightsaber anymore. It is BD, who you can also find in chests, like little parts to make him feel like your own little droid. Yes. And Cal himself. Yes. There's a lot of like, it's not just like full outfits anymore. You can customize.
Oh, wow. Like, we're going jacket. Through the beard and everything else.
Oh, yeah. We're getting into full like, He's got some interesting haircuts, let me tell you. There's some hairstyles. And
does he have cornrows?
I don't think he has cornrows. That'd be a questionable option, but he does have this mullet vibe. And yeah, you can change the jacket, the shirt, the pants. All of them have like their different, something else that you'll find in chests are... or you can buy in shops are like the color palettes that you can always also use for certain like pieces of clothing and things of that nature. So there's all of that, and yeah, you know, there's fashion souls definitely in Elden Ring, and this is gonna bring about fashion wars. That's of good. Like, awesome. What does your Cal look like? Does he look cool as hell? Obviously, you see here of like there's some currency that you can find across Kobo that you can go to the Doma's outpost and unlock more things. But that's not the only way to be able to get those. Like again, like I found a bunch of items throughout like just chests and things of that nature.
Love it.
So if you want to customize Cal, but you don't want to like do the whole like I got to hunt for this specific currency to do so. Like,
yeah.
There's a little bit of both. So if you're not as interested in like hunting down currency and like going through the shops and things of that nature, you don't have to.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah, it's going to get, it felt pretty deep. And again, it felt like what I saw was surface level of like how many like varying outfits and BD parts and lightsaber stuff was available. So yeah, you're going to be really happy with that.
I can't fucking wait.
And then on top of that, something else similar was the skill tree. Again, we only had so much unlocks, but you know, seeing the three different stances, each has their own skill tree. It at first glance, it feels like oh, each skill tree is a little small though, but like. Because there's so much available, like there's five skill trees under lightsaber, there's three under force, there's one under survival. Mm. It just feels like a lot to take in of, again, building on top of what Cal already knew.
I like this way better, honestly, because when you have a big skill tree, even when it is, I look at God of War Ragnarok, right? Oh yeah, I have a skill tree for
Kratos.
And it's like, oh man, I'm not doing half of these moves. And so when it is, hey, here are fewer skills and they matter for what the dual wield stance is or what the double blade stance is. Honestly, I prefer that way more.
Yeah, and I think it really gives you more credence to make your Cal your own. Because, yeah, the skill tree from the first game was like kind of like you still had like it separated into sections. But if you wanted to go all in on lightsaber stuff, it was like, all right, I got to like unlock this like single blade move to get to like a double blade move. Whereas, yeah, each stance has its own thing. So if you want to go all in on like the blaster stance or the dual wield stance, you can do that and like really just like hone in your skill level for like each stance. Yeah, I want to shout out the dual wield, which is the new stance that we really got to play around with, and how like different it felt from the other stances. Like the single and double bladed felt kind of pretty much the same. Again, it was very early on in the game, so I didn't get to really build on top of what they already were from the first game. But dual wield, I really enjoyed. It felt very methodical and kind of a little bit more dangerous to use from both good and bad. It seemed like because Cal's a little bit faster with the dual wield and kind of like every time he strikes, because he's a little bit methodical, you know, he seems a little bit more vulnerable to attacks when you're in the middle of an attack and things of that nature. But yeah, I think each stance has like its own good and bad sides of like, and it's all about, you know, personal taste of like what you want to like hone and get skillful with. So, yeah. And I think each stance has their own kind of like unique force power that you can use. I think the single blade, the force power was like the kind of like big stab move from I believe the first game, the double blade, I forget what it was, but the dual wield was an interesting one where it was like you would hold down Y and then Cal would kind of like hold his lightsabers like in the air, and then it turned into like this slow parry situation where you had to like time it correctly, and then if you got it like fully equipped as a parry, when someone hit you, you'd parry them, but then follow up with a flurry of attacks. And so like an added, like a different way to be able to parry and follow up with a bunch of damage rather than just like the kind of normal parry that you get for every stance. Well, at least these three stances, I don't want to, again, assume that, you know, the blaster has a parry, but you know.
I hope it does. Hell yeah. Would you say that, it sounds like the answer is yes, but would you say that you're more excited for this game now that you've done the preview than you were even before? Because you were already very excited about this game.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking back this morning to when, Greg, where you were like, you got to kill one of your babies, either Zelda or Jedi Survivor, and you only get to have one. And I was like pretty quickly like, all right, I'm killing Jedi Survivor, and like I want Zelda.
And now you realize
after this preview, I'm like, I have a little bit more pause. I'm like, I don't know which one to kill because I'm I'm really, really excited. And it got me like kind of back into that like fresh Star Wars feeling, like, you know.
You've definitely got me. I'm like, I got to get a replay in.
Yeah.
Fallen Order.
It's like the next few weeks are going to be torture because all I want to do is play this game. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else to add on.
I want to give you one question that I'm not sure if you saw anything or even if you'd be able to say anything about it. Because okay. I know for the record, don't know what you're saying. You can't talk about for stories. So,
okay.
SammyBoy54 wrote in and said, is there more referencing / related to the High Republic than just the mysterious Jedi? I have no knowledge of what he's talking about. I know when we watched the trailers, you had a whole bunch of theories and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can't say anything.
Okay. Cool.
I don't want to like really get super into story stuff anyway. Sure. Just because even if I was allowed to say more than what I could, like I just don't want to like give too much away of like what the story.
Please
is.
Don't. I don't want to ruin.
But yeah, I will say for at least what I will talk about with the story. For Fallen Order, because that's the thing where I'm still kind of questioning of like, where do you go after Fallen Order? Fallen Order felt like a kind of complete story when it came to Cal's internal journey. And so that's like, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
And so the interesting kind of tidbit that I really picked up on is that after 5 years, right, since Fallen Order, like from Order 66 to the events of Fallen Order, it was 5 years of Cal hiding. And now the 5 years in between Fallen Order and Survivor, it's been 5 years of Cal fighting the Empire. And he is tired. It just seems like it's been wearing on him. He doesn't feel like they've been making really any like major headway against the Empire. And even to that, right? Like that's felt in gameplay a little bit because he's a little bit slower. There are moments where, you know, you get up from your meditation circle and he'll just sigh. And he's just like... And so that makes me wonder like where they're going with him of like, if he decides to give up on the fight for some reason, just because he, you know, maybe after continuously fighting the Empire for years and not feeling like he's doing anything significant. Like, I wonder like if that's the major journey or if I'm just reading too much into that. So that's the interesting kind of thing I picked up from my time with it. And like the little bit that we get to see of hanging out with Grease, like Grease is concerned about like, oh, dude, wow. Like, you know, like take a break, like just like relax a little bit. Like you get to hang out like in the basement of the bar that Grease is hanging out at and you get to, you know, sleep there. And there's some things that you can interact with there. And he's like, this conversation he has with Cal is like, dude, the galaxy can wait a couple hours. Like, just sleep, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was like kind of the big takeaway of the story that I just wanted to shout out. And the other interesting follow-ups, like, it was cool to like be on the Mantis kind of at the beginning there. you get to see the little destroyed holocron from the first game and like you kind of see Cal like think back on that and
maybe that wasn't a good move.
And then, you know, I just love the, you know, at one point on Kobo you see a big Federation ship because some raiders have kind of taken over some battle droids for their own purposes, and Cal kind of thinks back of like, oh, the last time I saw a Federation ship was back on Braca when we were breaking down things, and he thinks back to his buddy Prof who died at the beginning of Fallen Order. So there's definitely little things here and there of like, oh, okay, there's threads that I didn't really think about that you kind of can continue on and see where Cal goes from here. And I want to do a quick shout out to the battle droids because they were hilarious. If you're a big Clone Wars watcher like myself, they're kind of the comedic relief in that show, just because they're like kind of pathetic and they're very aware of it in that show. And it was definitely that same vibe here, even though they're being repurposed by Raiders. I feel like they're going to be a big comedic relief throughout the game, even more so than the Stormtroopers. Like, they would say some funny things in Fallen Order, but nothing that I'm like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Like every battle droid interaction, I was having a big chuckle. So, yeah.
It all sounds great. I can't wait.
You got me very excited.
Yeah, right?
Good. Yeah,
April 28th can't come soon enough.
The one thing I'll say, like I said, I played on a PC with a AMD Ryzen. I didn't know what the exact specs were of the PC build, and granted, I'm playing a work in progress. The one drawback I felt like to the like how pretty it looked, there were still some like performance issues of like frame drops and things of that nature. Like Kobo feels like a really big like place to explore, so it definitely felt like, all right, now we're loading in this area of the okay. area to kind of like go around in. But again, they delayed the game for 6 weeks. I imagine because they want this to not be like the Fallen Order launch where it was like really buggy. Problems. And like, yeah. like I didn't notice any bugs. Like I will shout that out at least, or visually or anything of that nature. It was just like I was noticing some loading frame drops and things like that. And then a couple of other things I want to shout out. Because of the fidelity and how good it looks, felt like I was getting lost sometimes. Like when, you know, there's like your main golden path, but then also some branching paths and like what's like everything looks so pretty that like, you know, there's obviously your climbable vines, but then they look so good that like not like, is this climbable? No, I guess not. Or like, can I go this way? Oh, I can climb on the ceiling now. Like I didn't know that. So there was like a point where I was like stuck a little bit. And so it maybe like got a little bit too immersive at points where you're like, where can and can't I go?
I feel like I had that problem with Horizon a little bit where I'm like, this is too yeah. visually stimulating.
Yeah. It's like, like the fidelity
it's
is too
sharp.
Good.
Everything
yeah,
exactly. Sharp. Too sharp.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say,
woe
I think,
is us.
But I do think like the easier to process map, I think will kind of help alleviate that a little bit, because I did feel like I was bringing up my map a lot to be like, wait, okay, I'm right here, I'm trying to go this way, I can't go this way, okay, I can go back and loop back around that way. And yeah, it seems like there's going to be a lot of little things, fun things to explore, at least on Kobo. Again, I don't know what it's going to be like on other planets, whether they're going to be as big or there's going to be a bunch of smaller planets, things of that nature, but yeah, it seemed like a lot of cool little activities to do, and like I shouted out like being able to grow your garden, things of that nature. But I found something called a force tear, or a tear in the force, or something like that. It seemed like Cal kind of described it as like this weird force echo that was missing something, and then it takes you into this kind of challenge room, platforming challenge room, and yeah, you've got these platforms, and then every time you jump, the like force thing changes which side you're on.
Oh,
and so you have to kind of like,
that's fun.
And I didn't get that at first, and I was like, how am I messing up the timing here? But yeah, like every time you jump, it kind of changes where that's going. So you have to like really keep in mind of like how far you are in the little challenge room, how close the force field is getting to you, which side is it about to like jump to if you jump one more time, things of that nature. And so that's all I really saw in like fun, like weird little things to go find. So I don't know if like that's the extent of like, it's just going to be things like that over and over again, if there's going to be other rooms similar to it. But yeah.
I like
wanted
it.
To shout that out of like fun little things. Remind me of you know, Sonic Frontiers a little bit. I didn't play that game, but the way you talked about those little like challenge rooms and areas and stuff.
That's part of the game.
Yeah, I thought of you when I got to the Force Tear, and I was like, "Blessing like
tears.
This."
Too bad Sonic's dead.
Barrett, thank you so much for going to LA to play this game for us.
You're welcome.
Of course, Star Wars Jedi Survivor is out April 28th, one day after my birthday. What a present.
Ooh.
Birthday. Thank you. We'll all be talking about it, I'm sure, here on the Kind of Funny Games Cast, because each and every week, the Kind of Funny Games Cast posts to run you through the things we think about video games. Are they good? Are they bad? It doesn't matter, because we all hang out and have fun together. If you want to have fun with us, of course, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of the Kind of Funny Games Cast ad-free. You can get dozens of exclusive episodes of shows like Remember Blank, where we're remembering your Star Wars game this week. And of course, you can get all sorts of other things, from physical goods to just hanging out with us and doing whatever we do and live streaming fun. However, if you got no bucks to toss away, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. Use that Epic creator code, Kind of Funny, when you're on the Epic Game Store and or playing Rocket League, Fortnite, whatever on your PlayStation, Xbox, or Switch. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.